It's always a schus to address Doshim, people who are seeking to learn Torah, especially on the Sunday of Chanukah. I imagine that we have a lot of things to do. Okay. I was looking for you, Mr. Habesfeld. Rabbi Habesfeld is the whole koyach behind everything. More than the Kol Yom Rishon, you should know. We have a Gemara. We have a Gemara. How's that? Better? Okay. You know, Rabbi Goldfield is Kol Hashem Bakoyach. I'm going to try at least Kol Hashem Bahadar. We have a very famous halacha which kind of lost its way precisely because the menorah was no longer placed in front of the house. Now let me explain to you. Originally, the halacha required, and as the Rambam says explicitly, look at number 4 in your notes, Ne'er Chanukah mitzvah lahanichoy al Pesach beisoy mibachutz, batefach hasomuch la Pesach. There's an obligation to place the Ne'er Chanukah in a specific location. Now this is very astonishing, really, because one would have expected that the whole goal, the whole purpose and goal of the menorah is what we call Pirsumei Nisa. It is, in other words, the purpose of the menorah to declare the light to the street. Now, where you put it doesn't seem to make any difference, l'chaira, as long as you accomplish that goal. So why is there some specific or precise location where the Chachomim wanted that the menorah should be placed? And it's particularly fascinating that not only was there an obligation to place it at the doorway, at the entrance of the home, but also that there is a machlokas in the Gemara on which side of the entrance. Should it be on the side of the mezuzah or should it be opposite the mezuzah? On the other side, so that as you walk in, the mezuzah is to the right and the Ne'er Chanukah is to the left. I said at the beginning that this idea was lost to a very great extent because most of us place the menorah in the window. And that is how we accomplish our Pirsumei Nisa. There are, however, some who, lighting inside the house, do not light in the window, but rather inside one of the rooms. And there are some of those who place it simply on the table. But there are others who actually place it at the entrance to that room on the opposite side of the mezuzah. There is, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, I would suspect the majority of people light outside the house. I myself, coincidentally, am one of the probably 5 people in all of Flatbush that light at the entrance of the door. But that's a question when the gezeira is over and you could light the menorah outside. Should you or should you not? So in Chutz La'aretz, the minig remained by and large that people light inside. And the minig again is by and large that the lighting inside is in the window. So this idea of lighting in the front of your house, if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, or you're not in Eretz Yisrael on Chanukah at least, this idea is a little bit unknown to us. And that's an idea that I wanted to explore, not just because I do it myself, but also what is the significance of it? What is the deeper meaning of lighting it on the side of the mezuzah, opposite the mezuzah, at the entrance of the house? So let us look once again in that Rambam. Ne'er Chanukah, the obligation is to place it al Pesach Beiso Mibachutz, at the entrance of his house, betefach hasomuch la Pesach, literally right at the door. In other words, it's not enough to put it in front of the house. You could say you have to put it in front of the house so that people should know that you're the one who lit the menorah, that it doesn't belong to somebody else. But it's so precise, you have to put it batefach. How much is a tefach? A fist, 4 inches. A tefach hasamuch lapesach. Has to be right next to the entrance, right at the entrance. And where, says the Rambam, al smol hanichnas labayis, to the left of the person as he enters into the house. What the Rambam means, of course, is it'll be the exact opposite when you leave the house. So to tell you where to put it, he tells you you should put it when you're going into the house, the menorah should appear on the left. Kedei shetihye mezuzah miyamin v'ne'er chanukah mismail. So that the mezuzah should be to your right, and the Ner Chanukah should be to your left. And this is based on the Gemara. Look at number 2. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chof Beis, Omer Aleph, in the Perek of Bameh Madlikin, Omer Rabba, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Lanicha, Batefach, Hasmucha LaPesach, V'Heicha Manachla. It says the Tefach right next to the door, but the question is on what side? Rav Acha Brei Derava Omar Miyamin. Rav Acha Brei Derava says you put it on the same side as the mezuzah, so that when you enter, both mitzvos are to your right. The mezuzah above and the Ner Chanukah a little bit below. They're both to the right. Rav Shmuel Midifti Omar Mismol V'Hilchasa Mismol Kedei Shetehe Ner Chanukah Mismol U'Mezuzah Miyamin. So the Gemara tells us that we pask in the halacha that it should be on the opposite side of the doorway, so that the Ner Chanukah should be on the left side and the mezuzah on the right. Why? That is the point that I am going to try to address. What is the significance of it? Why does it have to be that way? Now, the fact that it's a machlokes sometimes tells us that you look at the other opinion to be able to better appreciate the halacha, even though that's not the opinion of the halacha. But what is the machlokas between them can sometimes tell you the significance, and sometimes not. You'll take a look at number 5. By the way, before we look at number 5, look at the bold line in number 1. When the Rambam sets up the whole inyan of Chanukah and the nes of Chanukah, the Rambam says, "Umadlikin ba." You see the bold towards the end of number 1? Umadlikin bahen haneros ba'erev al pischei habotim b'chol laila v'laila mishmonas halelos laharos ulegalos hanes. So again, he speaks about madlikin al pesach botehem. Again, we are speaking about the ikar hadin, and we are not speaking about the zman of the gzeros, when we were forced to bring the Ner Chanukah into the house. We are speaking about the original commandment. The original Durabonah was to light it at the entranceway so that you are revealing the nes of Chanukah to the street. The Pirsume Nisa Achetichle Regel Min Hashuk. It is for the Shuk. It's for the people who are passing by. Nevertheless, there seems to be here, in this halacha, that it has to be either adjacent to the mezuzah, or as we paskin, opposite the mezuzah, something about Ner Chanukah that speaks to the people of the house as well. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that this halacha has a seminal quality to it. It's a very essential point, and that's why it has to be so precise. And what is that point? For whom is that point? That is for the people in the house. So this is a very big chiddush, because we would have thought that Ner Chanukah, the whole concept of Pirsumei Nisa, the whole concept is dafka for the street, for the people who are outside the house and are walking by. There is even a concept of Haroa, someone who doesn't have his own Ner Chanukah. If he sees the Ner Chanukah from the street, he makes the brachas. Can't make a bracha of Lahadlik, of course, but he makes the other brachas. The first time he sees it, Shechianu, and the rest of the time, Sha'asa Nisim only. But the Roe is not a Madlik, and he doesn't have a house. Why is he making a bracha? Because Pirsumei Nisa. He acknowledges that he's aware of the Nes of Chanukah, as he passes by someone else's house. So the whole of Ner Chanukah is meant to do that, to give the light of the menorah to the street. This specific detail, that you, when you light it, you have to put it in front of your house in a very precise place, either adjacent to or opposite the mezuzah. The fact that it has a connotation and a context for the dweller of the house and the people inside the house is a chidush gadol miyot. You look at the various mafarshim first, before I weigh in ani hakotan with what I would like to say about this halacha. Bagos Maimonides, right there on the Rambam, number 5 in your notes. Krabiumio midifti, we paskin, and not like Rav Acha Brei de Rava, v'chein posak ha-sefer, v'hilchasa mismoil. Posak ha-sefer, he means the Maseches Sofrim, not just the Gemara. That's number 6. Shetei mezuzah b'yamin v'ner Chanukah b'smoil. And then he says, u'pesach de'ein loy mezuzah, what happens if you have a doorway and there's no mezuzah for whatever reason? Manichoy b'yamin, sharei loy posak ha-sefer b'smoil, ala mipnei ha-tam, she'ba'amud ha'ika d'leka ha'itayma, havi yamin adifa l'kvar ha-mitzvahs. He says in the reason that the Ner Chanukah should be b'smol is only if you have a mezuzah, so that you should be able to walk between the two mitzvahs. That's what he's trying to say. But if you don't have a mezuzah for whatever reason, then the default is everything is supposed to be on the right. But the very fact that when you have the mezuzah, the Ner Chanukah is b'smol, he really doesn't dwell upon it and explain it, but obviously it's to be opposite the mezuzah. There's something about the Ner Chanukah, according to the Agolos Maimonios, that you require to be opposite the mezuzah. The simplest explanation of that, of course, is that when you walk in to the house, you are surrounded by mitzvahs. And if you take a look in the car that I brought for you, on page 3, the Chedushia Ritva number 7, Kedei Shetehe, the top of the page 3, Kedei Shetehe Mezuzah B'yamin V'Ner Chanukah B'Smoil Pirush. What's the significance of this, he asks? Let us explain it. Ubal habayis nichnas beintayim betalis mitzuyeses. In another makor, it says in his talis and fillin, and everybody asks, wait a minute. Because talis mitzuyeses, you could say wearing his tzitzis. But what is a talis and fillin? The Ner Chanukah is at night. Mishatishka achama, and fillin is dafka not at night. So what's going on? Of course, we won't answer that. But the point is that the Ritva says it very explicitly. What is the reason why we have the Ner Chanukah b'smoil and the Ner Mezuzah b'yamin? Why do we have that? So that we should be able to pass through and be surrounded by mitzvahs, and in fact that we are wearing the mitzvah of tzitzis as well. So we are surrounded in mitzvahs. Choyne malach Hashem soviv li'ireyo v'yachal etzein. The Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah, which we will quote momentarily, he tells us that a person should always be surrounded in mitzvahs. The Gemara in Menachos tells us that David HaMelech entered the merchatz, the bath, the mikveh, and he found himself naked of mitzvahs because he didn't have any of the mitzvahs surrounding him until he reminded himself that he always walks with bris milah. The whole point of this, according to the Ritva, is that you should have an opportunity to be surrounded by mitzvahs. In the Me'iri, that's the Lashon that I mentioned before with the Tefillin, number 8, the second entry on page 3. Utei Ner Chanukah Mismoil Hanichnas Upirshu Ba'agoda V'yovo Ba'alabayis B'tfilov U'betalis Mitzuyetzes Beinehem Choyne Malach Hashem Saviv Lireyov V'yechal Tzeim. The Malach Hashem that he's talking about are the mitzvahs themselves. Those are the malochim that surround you. They surround you and they protect you. There's a shmira here. Now, if you look further, you find some deeper explanations. Until now, the one explanation that we have, explanation that's given by Rishonim, by the Ritva, by the Meiri, is that you should be able to enter to be surrounded by mitzvahs. Of course, if that would be the case, that it's because you are surrounded, then we would not understand the other opinion. Because then everyone should agree that what? That the mezuzah should be on the opposite side of the Ner Chanukah, so you should walk in between. Why should they both be on the right side? So it would be strange to understand the Tzad Shekeneged. You look at the Kedushas Levi, we're going forward many, many hundreds of years. Reb Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev, which is reference number 9. Mezuzah b'yamin. So he identifies the mezuzah with the very famous expression. You have the letters Shin, Dalet, and Yud, the name of Hashem, of course, and at the mezuzah's outside, on the portion of the cloth that has no writing on it, and when you fold it over, you try to make sure that that name is pronounced, you see it, and that is Shin, Dalet, Yud, Shomer, Dal, Sos, Yisrael. There is a very famous Medrash, a very famous Chazal, that every king except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, every king has guards who protect him. And here the king protects his subjects. The Malach Hashem is inside the house, and Hashem in the mezuzah is protecting the dwellers, the Bnei HaBayis. So he says, Shabbalei Baruch Hu Roitza Lishmer Es Yisrael, Shemezuzah Himoira Al Shmira Kemefurish Bekama Mekoimais, Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Gemara in Menachos. V'chein hoya hanes b'nei Chanukah, shu nekoma bagoyim unekoma b'smoil. Avol ika hanekoma machmas shu shmiro liYisrael, u'shmiro hu b'mezuzah shu hu miyamin. V'yofa oyle divrei Rabbeinu. He says a very interesting thing, and it's very cryptic what he says. But let me suggest my pshat in the Bardichev's words. The Bardichev says that there is in fact a concept of Shmira both in the Ner Chanukah as well as in the Mezuzah. And the Mezuzah, of course, he takes for granted that that's what it is, and he quotes several Gemaras, but the Benogea to Ner Chanukah, where's the idea of Shmira? What is there a Shmira about it? So of course, whenever there's Pesumei Nisa, there is a very strong understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us in the most dire of moments. There are 2 Yamim Tovim that were established for Shmira and 2 Yamim Tovim that are established for Pesumei Nisa, and they are one and the same. Because where were the Jews saved? Purim. Lahashmid la'arog ul'abed es kol ha'yehudim. They are saved from the Hitlers of the world. There is a Shmira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Klal Yisrael because he gave his promise. V'ad gam zos bi yosam be'eretz ha'yeveyim lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosam. I did not have that kind of contempt that I ignored them and abandoned them and I allowed them to be destroyed. L'hafer brisi itam, and to break my covenant with them. No! I protect them and I keep, even if it's a ud mutzal me'esh, even if it's a firebrand that was saved from the fire, even if it's the rest of Klal Yisrael after 6 million and after so much assimilation. But there's always going to be a Klal Yisrael, and that's the Shmira of Chanukah and Purim. Purim was physical. Chanukah is both physical and spiritual. It's also physical. The Rambam says, Sarlohem Ma'od, Poshtu Yodom B'mamonam U'B'Bnoseyem, they stole from them, they raped their girls. In the Gemara Maseches Ksubas at the beginning of the Masechta, they speak about every girl who got married, every Yiddish kind, when she got married, the first right to that was the hegemon, the tafser, the ruler, the goy, that was the leader of that place, the prince, whatever he was, he had first rights to this girl. So this was Poshtu Yodam B'mamonam U'Bibin Oseyam. It wasn't just the philosophy of the Greeks, and it wasn't just the elephants. And that was a tremendous sakona that was physical, very physical. and of course the spiritual danger. The two Yom Tovim of Pirsumei Nisa, what makes them different from any other Yom Tov? I'll tell you the answer. In both of these Yom Tovim that Chazal created for Pirsumei Nisa, you needed the Nes because the jig was up. There was a tremendous possibility of Yiyush, of total despair. And as I always say, it's a holiday that celebrates our commitment to Hashem, just as it celebrates Hashem protecting and saving us. Because if it wouldn't be for Mordechai v'Esther, it wouldn't be for the Chashmonaim, we wouldn't be here. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always has a way, so He made them and gave them their strength that they needed to withstand the Yiyush. But imagine in Tehillim, the capital that's associated with Esther and with Purim, has the words, Keili, Keili, Loma, Azavtoni. Why did you abandon me? And she's afraid. She's afraid to go into the chamber of Achashverosh. V'ani lo nikreisi lovo el ha-melech zeh shloshim yom. Could you imagine? And Mordechai has to coax her, and she's convinced, and then she says, Leich knoses kol ha-yudim. Go and fast for me. 3 days. Gamani v'naros ayotzum kein. A person who fasts for 3 days is certainly not beautiful. But she goes with the koyach of Hashem. And that kind of confidence is very hard to come by when everything seems to be so black. When it comes to the Chashmonaim, how many were there? And look at all those elephants. And look at all the Jews that seem to feel that the other way is the better way. And you understand that there could be a very, very simple solution. Just give up. Cave in. And the answer is no, we won't. And there is a tremendous shmira, and it is the koyach that Hashem planted into these Chashmonaim, that they had the strength and the will to prevail. So these two Yomim Tovim express the shmira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a time when all seemed to be lost. So we understand what the Kedushas Levi is trying to say. The mezuzah protects the Jew at all times. He protects the Jewish home. But the Ner Chanukah reveals the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those moments of history when things look so bad that most people would give up. You know that Orthodoxy, I mean, you've seen this 100 times in 100 newspapers. Orthodoxy was on its way out. There was nothing left. Now people are lamenting all the other branches. And Orthodoxy is having this incredible renaissance. It's interesting, the word renaissance together with Orthodoxy, but in any case, that is exactly what is happening. So you have this Shmira concept very well understood. We know what the Kedushas Levi, what Reb Levi Yitzchak Baditchev is talking about. But again, he speaks of the mezuzah as a moment of Shmira, and therefore the Chanukah menorah also is a moment of Shmira, and these two Shomrim, you actually are surrounded by the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The daily protection, the protection of the home, and the extraordinary protection of Bayomi Moheim Bazman Hazeh. I would like to suggest an entirely different shot in the purpose of placing the menorah adjacent and opposite the mezuzah. And I begin with an idea. What is the mezuzah all about? Now, you just heard from me, and I quoted the Kedushas Levi, who himself refers to several Gemaras. And this is a well-known idea, and I certainly would not be in a position, even if I wanted to deny it. But there is something about the mezuzah besides Shmira, something very essential. The point man, the authority, the source for this other idea besides Shmira, besides protection, is in fact the Rambam Hilchos Mezuzah. Now just to acquaint you, the Rambam organizes his Sfarim. Sometimes he puts together a series of different halachos because they have something in common. The best example is the example that we have, Hilchos Chanukah. Hilchos Chanukah has 2 chapters, Perek Gimel and Perek Dalet. Now, of course, that sounds very strange. Why isn't it Perek Aleph and Perek Beis? The answer is because it's not Hilchos Chanukah. It's Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. And Purim is Aleph and Beis, and Chanukah is Gimel and Dalet. So if somebody wants to know what is the first halacha of the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, he will look at Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph. The same thing is true, where do you find the laws of Mezuzah? So the Rambam again has a sequence of three kinds of mitzvos that are all related together because they're all on a klaf, on a parchment. And what are they? The Rambam starts, tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah. All together, 10 chapters. The first four chapters, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, are Hilchos Tefillin. The two middle chapters, Hilchos Mezuzah, Vav, Hey and Vav, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Tefillin, Hey and Vav, Mezuzah, Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yud, Sefer Torah. So if we want to look at the last halacha in Hilchos Mezuzah, we will not look for Hilchos Mezuzah, we will look for Hilchos Tefillin, Mezuzah, V'Sefer Torah, and therefore it is Perek Hey and Vav, Hilchos Mezuzah, the last halacha is the last halacha of Perek Vav. So take a look. Number 10. Frankly, if someone would ask me, if you had to take a scissors, kivayochel, somebody once cut out a Tosfos. So he said, what are you doing? He says, I don't like this Tosfos. I don't understand it and I don't like it. He said, but there's a Tosfos on the other side. He says, Oy l'rasha v'oy l'shcheinu. This Rambam, I'm not suggesting you should cut it out. Maybe photocopy it would be best. But if someone would ask me, is there one Rambam that I would take as my slogan, as my worldview, as my perspective on life? Is there one Rambam that I could carry around with me that says it all? It is this Rambam. And you'll soon see exactly what I mean. The Rambam says, Chayov Adam, let's go through this word for word. Number 10. Chayav Adam lihizoyo b'mezuzah. A person has to be very careful about a mezuzah. You know what that means. It means the parchment, not the cover. Everybody's busy with the cover, and that's because they don't ever learn this Rambam. But if they would be busy with the Rambam, they wouldn't be busy with the cover, they would be busy with the parchment. And what's in the parchment. Chayav Adam lihizoyo b'mezuzah mipnei shehi chovas hakol tamid. Everyone is obligated, and he's obligated at all times. You're mechuyev mezuzah day and night. You're mechuyev mezuzah whether you're a man or a woman. Of course, once there's a mezuzah on the door, that's it. So we kind of tend to forget about it. So what do we do to remember it? We pass by and we give it a kiss. And to be very honest with you, the satan is always at work. The satan, the yetzer hara, the satan is always at work. And the satan says, you can kiss the mezuzah 50 times a day, just don't pay any attention to it. Pay any attention to what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us? No, there's something else. So the Rambam says, V'chol zman sheyikones v'yetze. He goes into the door, out of the door. Into the house, out of the house. He goes into the street, he comes back home. Kol zman sheyikones v'yetze. Yivga, he encounters. It's a rendezvous. You're making a rendezvous with the mezuzah. Yivga. Like Yankov Avinu. V'yivga b'mokoyim v'yolin sham. At the end of the parsha, Vayivgu bo malachei elokim. Here he encounters Yichud Hashem, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shma Yisrael. What is in the mezuzah? Let's just refresh our memories. In the mezuzah are the first two parshios of Shma. That's it. Shma v'hoyo im shamoa. So he says, he encounters the parsha of Shma. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Yizkor Ahavosai, and he reminds himself of his obligation to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're a part of my life. Ribbono Shel Olam, you are in the corner of my life. Ribbono Shel Olam, somewhere in the back of my mind. Ribbono Shel Olam, your mind in the shul, your mind in the Beis Medrash, your mind in the Daf Yomi, your mind on Yom Kippur, to Yizkor. It's v'ahavta eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol miyodecha. your might and main, your possessions, your heart, your life. It is a love that is all-consuming, and it's 24/7. And that's what you're supposed to remember when you pass by the mezuzah. Could you imagine? V'yivka v'yichud Hashem shmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I repeat, v'yizkar ahavoso, and he remembers the mitzvah of ahavta eis Hashem elokecha. V'yeyor mishnoso, and he wakes up from his slumber, ushgiyosa v'ahav le'azman, and his preoccupation, his ruminations, his obsessions with the stupidities of life. V'ahav le'azman. Time that is wasted, time that is confounded by all of the things that pressure us, but that should not pressure us because they really have no meaning or significance at all. V'yeida, and he should know. He should be conscious of, he should be aware of. Front row center, what does he have to know? She'ein dover ha'omeid la'olam ul'olmei olamim. There's nothing that is forever. There's no constant in the world. This is a greater constant than E equals MC squared is a constant there. El yediyas tzura olam u'miyad hu chozer l'dayta. Could you imagine a Lashon HaRambam? You encounter the mezuzah, you wake up, and you come back to your senses. Miyad hu chozer l'dayta. He comes back to his senses. He suddenly wakes up, he's a little disoriented, and then suddenly he sees the picture. He comes back to his senses, v'olech b'darkei meishorim. And then he speaks about being surrounded by mitzvahs all day. Could you imagine a Rambam like this? Now there's one premise that the Rambam has over here, which he carries forward in several other halachas. Fascinating. And that is that most people sleepwalk their way through life. They just sleepwalk their way through life. They just exist. And they're busy because of that sleepwalking with all kinds of pusta and vista chalaimis. And basically, they never allow themselves to wake up because it might be too challenging and too painful, because you might have to give up this world because of the next. You might have to immerse yourself in Torah and mitzvahs. You might have to give up all of the silly things that people are chasing after, the little toys for little children and the big toys for big children. And that is something that people do not want to do. So kiss the mezuzah as much as we want, but pay attention to the mezuzah to hear a message like this. The mezuzah is an alarm clock. The mezuzah says, wake up. And there's no snooze button. There's no snooze button. Where else does the Rambam speak about waking up? The most famous of them, it's in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel, number 11. There are many reasons that are given for the mezuzah, and there are many reasons even more that are given for the shofar. What is the significance of the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? What's it all about? 10 reasons, 20 reasons, 30 reasons. The Rambam singles out one of them. He says, Apalpi, even though mitzvah tkiya shofar is gzeiras hakosuv, there's no question. You have to do it. It's a mitzvah. The Ribbono Shlom commanded it. Yes. Aber remez yesh boy. There's something behind the commandment that is important for us to appreciate and to understand. What is it? Klomar. Here we go. Uru yeshenim mishenaschem. Wake up those of you who are asleep. Wake up from your sleep. V'nir domim. Those of you who are in deep sleep. Hakitzu mitar deimaschem, wake up from that slumber. V'chipsu b'maaseichem, and examine your ways. V'chizlu b'tshuva, and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'zichru borachem, and remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elu ha'shochachim es ha'emes b'havli hazman. Those who forget the truth again, havli hazman. Look, he repeated the phrase. The hevel, the stupidity, the emptiness of life. V'shogim kol shnosam behevel varik, and all year long, because the shofar is once a year. So he says, all year long, they busy themselves with nonsense, with empty things. Asher lo yoil v'lo yatzil, they don't help, they don't save you. Habitu, says the shofar, look l'nafsho seichem, think about your souls, think about the really important things. V'heitivu darcheichum amal aleichem, v'yazov kol echot mikem darko ha'ro'a u'machshavto asher lo tovah. Ribbono Shlom asks us to blow the shofar. Im yitaka shofar be'ir v'am lo yachrodu. We had a naftorah recently. And this is something that is supposed to arouse us like an alarm clock again. wake up from your slumber and realize the important things in life, and abandon all the nonsense and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is one more place which nobody knows about. Mezuzah, some people know. Shofar, everybody knows. The Rambam about Shofar. But there's one more Rambam that speaks in the same language which almost no one knows. And that is Rachmanu Litzlan. It's in Hilchus Avelus, Hilchus Avel. And the reason that the Rambam speaks about it there is really very fascinating. Did I quote it? Number 15. Yes, exactly. The last one. The Rambam says, "Kol mi she'eno misabel kamo shetzivu chachomim, harei ze achzori." If a person doesn't mourn a lost loved one of the mesim that a person is obligated, bar minan, we shouldn't know from it, that is obligated to mourn, that one is obligated to mourn, father, a mother, and so on. Kol mi she'eino misabel kamo shetzivu chachomim, if he does not mourn as the chachomim required, harei ze achzori, he's a cruel person, he's a sadist. Now, if someone would have asked me, if I would ask you, what is the simple meaning of this? Every one of us would answer, well, of course. He doesn't mourn, he doesn't have any feelings, he doesn't hurt, he's not in pain, he doesn't feel the loss. What's wrong with him? He must be a sadistic type. He must have no feelings, he has a heart of stone. I believe that that is not the intent of the Rambam at all. To understand the intent of the Rambam, we have to go with the flow of the words of the Rambam as he continues. The Rambam says, Ella, yifached v'yidag v'yifashpesh b'maisav v'yarza b'tshuva. This is an incredible ending to the line that begins, otherwise he's an achzori. What should the Rambam have written if he means that you have no heart and you have no feelings? Ella, yifke, yisabel. Yiksha olav. Person shouldn't think this is derech kol haaretz. What is it to cry about? No, cholila v'chas. Yes, to feel the pain. But that is not what the Rambam says. As he continues, the Rambam says yifached. He should be afraid. V'yidag, and he should worry. V'yifashbish b'maisav, and he should examine his ways. And he should do tshuva. You know that according to the Rambam, the 7 days of Shiva are so that the people who are mourners should do tshuva? Did you ever hear of such an idea? Did that idea ever cross anyone's mind? That the purpose of it is that we should do tshuva? What does tshuva have to do with it? That's what we would say. So let me explain to you what the Rambam has in mind. At least to the best of my understanding. Everybody knows, I'm going to give you an analogy which everyone can understand. Everybody knows that the earth is round. It's an accepted fact, the earth is round. How do you know it? How do you know that the earth is round? Well, we know it because we have a globe, we know it because the scientists tell us, we know because when the mast of a ship is in a distance, you see the top of the mast before you see the ship itself. There's so many ways of knowing that the earth is round. But there's one person, one kind of person, that knows the earth is round in a way that none of us could ever know, and it's much more real. What's he called? An astronaut. Exactly right. The astronaut sees that the world is round. It's a different kind of yediyah. It's a different kind of knowledge. And that knowledge, it's not a difference in the quality, as it were. It's something else entirely. It's a knowledge which is not only incontrovertible, but it's a knowledge that embeds itself within our consciousness. It just becomes part and parcel of how we think about the world. Nothing else can match that. Nothing else. Everybody knows that they are finite. Everybody knows that eventually we should live all for many, many more gesunte gute yachen. I'm a kayin, I'm giving you all a bracha. But you should all have tremendous, all of us should have arichus yomim b'ne'imim. But everybody knows that there's going to come a point when we will join and become as the dust of the earth. And the neshama goes up to Himmel, and we are no longer of this world. How old do you have to be to know that? 10 years old, 12 years old. I remember once I was at a levaya in the street. It was a very poignant levaya. I was in the street because I was a kohen, but also it was a Rosh Hashiva. The street was jammed. The Beis Medrash inside was completely filled. You couldn't go in. There were children that were very connected to that Rosh Hashiva. I wouldn't say grandchildren, but they lived there. They saw the Rosh Hashiva every day, and they were very much connected to it. And I, as a kohen, was standing outside listening to the hespedim. And I noticed that some of the children are playing with the stick of the policewoman and asking her about her revolver and talking to her about all kinds of that stuff. So I went over to one of them. It was more than idle curiosity. I just wanted to see, how do they assess, do they have any awareness whatsoever of what's going on? And I said, the spadim are going and there's this whole alavaya happening and they're busy with the policewoman's stick. So I asked one of the children, imagine 9, 10 years old, what, as they say in Yiddish, what is going on here? What's going on over here? And he tells me, like, looks to me like I'm a golem, that I came from Mars. I said, what are you talking about? It's the levaya of the Rosh Hashiva. And that was the whole story. I didn't have to ask another question. This total awareness and total ignorance, bivasachas. The least likely thing that a person thinks about at any time is their mortality. It paralyzes you, it blinds you, it causes you all kinds of angst, and it doesn't allow you to understand that life is not going to be forever. So you need to become an astronaut. And we don't ask for it. But it happens. And oy vavoy to a person who became an astronaut and never took upon himself to even get dressed in his spacesuit. You know what I'm talking about? When you see and confront the demise, the patira of a loved one. Somebody that you were connected to, someone that you were bound to, someone that you cared about beyond. And suddenly that person is wrenched out from underneath you. And you realize that all the relationships and all the connections and all of the moments and all of the moments that might have been, the moments that might have been, if I would have only known, I would have said this and I would have done that. And all the moments, let's say a parent, kibud av v'eim, starts to swell inside of you, oh, I should have taken care of them, and I never should have said this nasty word, I never should have given them agmas nefesh, and this, and this, and this. What are you talking about? Why all of a sudden? Because at that moment, you realize the finality of a person, like the astronaut sees that the world is round. You cannot escape it, no matter who you are. Oh, the little children, they're still not going to know. Something about a young person that simply cannot connect to this idea of bechlal. They'll run around even in the Beis Havel. Aber lemaisa, a person who has the maturity, the seichel, the understanding, what is he seeing? What is he thinking? What is he saying? He's saying, oi, what was is no longer. The Rambam insists that the Ovel has to think exactly that thought about himself. He, she has to feel at that moment that they are not going to live forever. V'haraya. The proof is tangible and concrete as the proof of the roundness of the earth for the astronaut in the space, in his spaceship. And that's why the Rambam says, if you don't go through that process, and you don't take advantage of that moment, you are a sadistic person. You know what he's talking about? You're a sadist to yourself. The achzorius is that you are an achzor to yourself, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the chance to learn and to listen, and to feel. Feel what? The finality of your own existence and all of the consequences. Don't postpone the mitzvah. Don't postpone the love. Don't postpone the kibbutz av. Don't postpone the opportunity to rise and learn, the opportunity of Talmud Torah, the opportunity of chesed, the opportunity that you go to a hospital and you give a person encouragement and you lift up his spirits. What are you waiting for? Oh, there's so much time left. I'm busy now. I'm busy. We are all so busy. The Ribbono Shel'olam gave us this makkah, this tremendous makkah of being busy, that we have all the conveniences of the world and there's no generation that's been as busy as we are. So the Ribbono Shel'olam says, look at the avelus. I don't ask you to be rejoicing about it because you just lost somebody, but look at it and take advantage of it. Let's reread the Rambam. Kol mi she'eino mis'abel k'mo she'tzivu chachomam arei ze'achzori elo yefached v'yidag v'yefashpesh b'maisa v'yarza b'tshuva. V'yarza b'tshuva. V'echad mibnei chabura she'meis tidag kol ha'chabura kula, even if they don't sit shiva. But this concern is also because they become astronauts too. Their best friend was just gone. They're not going to sit shiva because it's not one of the shiva. Aba l'maisa, they're going to sit shiva in their heart. And what does that mean? They'll worry and concern themselves that they are mortal. Kol shlosha yomim arishonim yiras atzmai kilu chav munachas lo atzavoi. Mishlosha vad shiva kilu munachas bekeon zovis. Mikan ve'ela kilu haveres kenegdo b'shuk. You have to actually see the malacham avos in three different levels. More immediate, more acute, and less, until finally it's no longer possible because we'll go back to this world. The astronaut comes back. But did you record in your heart the finiteness of your existence and all of the positive things that come out of that, that imlo achshav emosai. So I consider this Rambam in the same interpretation of life, in the same understanding of how a mitzvah is supposed to impact upon us, to appreciate the purposes of life, together with the Rambam of Shofar and the Rambam of Mezuzah. Now let's go back to the idea of Ner Chanukah and the mezuzah. The Ner Chanukah on the left, mezuzah on the right, but not with the understanding of the Kedushas Levi of Shmira, but with the suggestion of the Rambam of what mezuzah is all about. And I would like to suggest something. The Ner Chanukah tells a story, but it doesn't tell the whole story until you incorporate the mezuzah of the Rambam. What I mean is this: the Ner Chanukah is Pirsumei Nisa. It's Mefarsem. It declares the Nes to the street. But according to the original mitzvah, that it had to be outside the house, right by the door, the Ner Chanukah says something. It says, if you want to know how we came to Ner Chanukah, if you want to know where does the Jew get the strength and the conviction and the power to withstand the world, to challenge the world, to be convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us, and to know that we are the Am HaNivchar. It's an expression that today in certain circles is anathema, even amongst Jews. How dare we proclaim that we are the chosen people? How dare we say that we are different and unique and special in the eyes of Hashem? And the corollary, of course, of that is how dare we say that Eretz Yisrael is different and unique in the eyes of Hashem? You could bring 1,000 Gemaras and 500 Medrashim and the Ramban in every place that he speaks about Eretz Yisrael, and it's not worth anything to these liberal people who don't care about Torah Ki Uzeh. There's no such thing as anybody being better than anybody else. And the minute you suggest it, then you become a terrorist. What do you mean you're better than somebody else? And go explain to them, when we say better, it means that our challenges are greater and our mitzvahs are more, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects more from us. it's not going to help you accuse them. And ultimately, I believe that that's why the Jew is having such difficulty in the campuses all over the country, just being Jewish. It's not just Israel and the Palestinians. It's the fact that we proclaim by our very existence that we're still around in spite of everything, that we are special and unique in the eyes of Hashem. And that's something that no one can stand, especially if they don't believe in Hashem anymore. It's a combination of contempt and jealousy, even though isn't that ironic? Those are two opposite points. They're contemptuous of us and they're so jealous of us. Rabbeisai, the mezuzah gives the power to the Ner Chanukah to be able to make that proclamation. Because it is only that person who is able to abandon the stupidities of the world and to identify as a Yid in every possible way, and his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is through mitzvahs and Torah and masim toivim, and the chuppah of a Jewish couple, and the tznius of a Jewish girl, and the whole concept of what the Jewish home represents, kokvuda bas melech pnima, elokim moishiv yechidim baisa, moitzi asirim b'kaisharis. If you want sheirus, the sishbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the Jewish home that's pure and perfect. Aye sara yishtecha v'yomer hinei ba'oel. The three special blessings that were the tent of Sarah that returned to the tent of Rivka. What were those blessings symbolic of, says one of the great Svarim? They are symbolic of the Beis HaMikdash, the Lechem Aponim, the Menorah, the Shekhinah, the Anane Kavod, Onon Kosher Ala Pesach, the cloud that hovered, the cloud of Kedusha that hovered over Sarah's home, and once again over Rivka's tent. The blessing in the Gashmius that she provides, which connects Gashmius to Ruchnius. The light that constantly burns. It is that light that gives credence to the light that is being given over to the street in the Chanukah menorah. The Chanukah menorah says, I am not the Ikar. The Ikar is the mezuzah. The Ikar is that Yeda She'ein Dova Omid La'olam Al-Olam Al-Olamim Ela Yedi Asur Kol Al-Olamim. The mezuzah that says, V'yeyo Mishnaso Shkiyosa Bahavli Azman. The mezuzah that is the constant reminder that makes us an astronaut for all times, that gives us the feeling and appreciation that we have on Rosh Hashanah, that we should feel that way every single day. Kolzman Shenichnas V'yotze. What does he know? Yichud Hashem Avoso V'chol Avovcho V'chol Nafsho V'chol Miyedecho. This is what a person is supposed to know when he passes by the mezuzah. Nichnas v'yetze. He doesn't bring the street and all of its schmutz and all of its hevel into the house, and he doesn't let the house disintegrate. Because when he goes out into the street, he takes the house with him, and that's a cocoon that protects him. So when he goes into his business world, and when he goes on the subway, and wherever he is or she is, you know that you're a Jew, that you belong to a different agenda than all the people around you, and that your whole tachlis is to reach the madregas of Torah, mitzvahs, and ma'asim tovim, which make you the mamleches kohanim, the goy kodosh, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be when he gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. To realize that there's a hakdama to the world that is to come, and that's all this world is, and it isn't the end of it. And that a business preoccupation of the stock going up and going down and down and up and down, that's not the ikar of life. It might have some relevance, it might have some purpose, but it's not the ikar. And the ikar is not to buy a Lexus, and the ikar is not to have a house that has 17 bedrooms when you have only two children. That's not the ikar. To poke other people's eyes out with how much you have. To poke other people's eyes out with the nothingness of this world. It's unbelievable. A person can chase after this his entire life and not realize that ultimately it's hevel. You can't take it with you anyhow. And go explain that to a person. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. That little kid who is playing with the stick, with the baton of the policewoman during the levaya of the Rosh Hashiva. You just don't understand. You say it over and over again. We daven. We daven, Chafetz Chaim used to say, we daven, Avinu Ahava Rachem, 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 Aleinu, Ribbono Shel Olam, have mercy upon us. The same belief and put into our hearts, Bina, Lahavin ul Haskel, Every day he says, you go to a bank, you want a loan. You go to the president of the bank and you cry and cajole and coax and prod, and you tell the president 100 different reasons why you desperately need the money. And the president is overwhelmed. He says, just a minute, I'm going to go get the papers. And as he goes to get the papers, you pick yourself up and you leave. And the same thing the next day and the next day. By the time it's around, the president sees you, he tells the guard, throw the bum out. He's an idiot. He's a meshuggah now. We spend every single one of our days in Birchas HaShachar. In the Birchas Kriya Shema, we say in the Bracha of Abba, Rabba, Avtanu, Ribbono Shlolam, help us, give us kaya, give us understanding, give us the time, give us the purpose to be able to be Oisik B'Torah B'Mitzvahs. And how do we spend the rest of the day? So Chafetz Chaim says, isn't the Ribbono Shlolam going to get a little bit frustrated with us after a point? That is what the mezuzah is all about. It's only the house that acknowledges the mezuzah and its intentions, as the Rambam spells it out so beautifully at the end of the sixth perek of Hilchos Tefillin, Mezuzah and Sefer Torah. Perek Vav Halacha Yud Gimel. It's only that kind of house that can project and propel the aura of the menorah to the street. And that's why the menorah needs to be adjacent. And that's why the machlokas isn't so extreme. Is it next to the mezuzah? Is it on the opposite side? Person walking through. The ikar is that you have to have the mezuzah as the context for the Ner Chanukah. And if you don't have the mezuzah as the context for Ner Chanukah, then that pesumei nisa is about other things. About wars, about freedom, about this, about that. When it's not at all. We didn't win the wars. The wars went on and on and on, and finally the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we were sent into exile. It's all one long tapestry. Those 200 plus years are years of very, very difficult times, and the Romans were the suzerains of the whole, their governing of the whole Mediterranean was supreme, and we fought them, Bar Kokhba fought them, and sometimes he was successful for a year and a half. He prevailed, and then we lost everything. And this is not so poshut that we won, we won, we won. It's not we won. It's that we survived. But it's not we survived. It's that we rededicated ourselves. It's not a small thing that the whole emphasis on Torah Shebaal Peh begins be'ikar at the time of the Chashmonaim with the zugois that are mentioned in Pirkei Avos. Torah became ascendant. And that was the real Hatzlocha. And that's only because the menorah was next to the mezuzah. It's only because of Yidden that believe that the Iker is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our agenda is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our agenda is to live a life that recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we can be mefarsim to the street, because that's explaining to the world how we managed for so many thousands of years of Golus. So the mezuzah is the Pirush Rashi, if you will, that always has to be next to the Pasuk, which is the Ner Chanukah. Bezes Hashem Yisbarach, we should be zeicha to live that lesson in my shul and in wherever I go, and I have an opportunity. I suggest to the people they should, I wouldn't say cut out the Rambam, because the other Rambam on the other side will not be happy, but photocopy that Rambam. Cut it out from here, if you will. Photocopy it from here. Hang it up next to one of the mezuzahs in your house and pass by and look at it from time to time. It'll change your life. Should have a Freilich and Chanukah and a wonderful, wonderful year.